And so I want to share it, but this is what I want to do. Wednesday night, I shared something with those of you who are here. And if you are here, I just thank you for your tolerance to share it with you again. It's a really significant word for me. And I think it, but I also believe it's a word. It's one of those things when God says something to you many times, you know, it's not just for you, especially if you have the calling that I have, which is to share my journey and be a participate in your journey. We've talked a lot in the last months for a while about personal revival. One of the reasons being that that the Lord can speak to gazillion people about worldwide revival and all those kind of things, but in the end, it happens to persons because we have a personal relationship with Jesus, not an independent one, but a personal one. And whatever our concept, many times our concept, understanding of revival, what that looks like in a person's life, as charismatics, we have a tendency to always think of it in terms of signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are certainly one of the wonderful consequences of true revival in the church. New people coming into the kingdom is probably the dominant one. But in the end, when a person experiences true revival, there's extraordinary heart righteousness that happens to them. And there is a I'll put my Bible up there. Somebody got a Bible? Hopefully somebody has a Bible. I really get discouraged. Any personal revival I may have experienced will probably go out the window if nobody has a Bible. This is one of the words recently that God's given to me. Really profound, simple word. This is how I was going to start sermon, so this is whether we do the sermon or not. This is the Lord, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. How blessed are all those who long for him. Do you hear me? And the Lord longs to be gracious to us. But the people who get to experience that are the ones who long for him. There's just this thing that goes on. And anyway, I was preparing for Wednesday night. It was the last little bit of the Sermon on the Mount. And I was just in my office. I didn't go home that afternoon. I was just finishing up some stuff. And I decided what I wanted to do was look up in the book, Compelled by Love, by Heidi Baker and Ron Baker, where she states that she believes that following the Sermon on the Mount, the life that's laid out before us, is the path to revival. And I remember the first time I read that, it ministered to me because I believed that with all my heart. And so it just blew me away. This is an incredible person. So I decided to go back and find that. It's early in the book. So I just started from the beginning in the foreword. And I never did find the quote because I ran out of time. And but in the beginning of the book, her husband, who's like a couple of decades older than she is, talks about he has a real heritage in the Lord, and his grandfather was really used in revival in China. And he talks about the fact that he always wanted to find someone in his life as a model who lived out the life of the Beatitudes and the life in the Sermon on the Mount. And the first authentic person you ever met who was radically committed to living one day at a time in the grace of God was Heidi Baker. And he met her. She went to a little charismatic church in Dana Point, California, which is real close to San Clemente. And he talks about their connection, that the greatest influence in her life was his mother, who was her sixth grade teacher. So, you know, I'm just reading this story. Then he just talks about since she was 16 years old, this radical commitment to Christ and living it out in short-term missions and going into the slums in L.A., just putting her life at risk as this lovesick person, and how that drew him to her. And when they got married, like 2 weeks after they got married, they went to the mission field with $30 in their pocket. That's all they did. They lived among the poor in Singapore, and I think it was Singapore. And anyway, if you ever read that book, and then the story just of the miracles and things that happened as a result of their compassion. And this is the person that really resonates to my soul just because of her whole commitment, their commitment to compassion, to Sermon on the Mount, the whole thing. And I remember reading that, and I'm thinking, especially when she told the story about the first three blind people she ever saw healed. And her nickname in Mozambique was Mama Ada. And the first three blind people she got healed, once they got healed, people said, look, Mama Ada received her sight. All three of them had the same name that she had. Just as this extraordinary confirmation of God in her life. And so I was reading all that, I was thinking, and one of the things I've always believed is that the anointing has this accumulative quality to it. That if you could just start off like that at 16 years old, just crazy for Jesus, that it just accumulates bigger and better and gets better and better, the blessing gets stronger and all that kind of stuff. And that's a cool thing, but what if you didn't start off at 16? Or what if at 60 you still have dreams for more? And you think, but I don't have time for it to accumulate. If I had 30 years to start over again, I would have time for it to accumulate. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord spoke, not audibly, but one of those things that kind of knock you out of the chair. He brought back to my mind Matthew chapter 20. And in Matthew chapter 20 is a story of the graciousness and the generosity of God. And how at the beginning of the day, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, the owner of the vineyard went out and found workers, invited workers and promised them a denarii for a full day's work. And then a few hours later, he went out and got more. And then a few hours later, he went out and got more. And finally, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes out and calls more workers, and they come and work for an hour. And then at the end of the day, he tells his servants to pay them, to bless them for their work. And he starts off with the ones who, it says literally in Matthew 20, who came to work at the 11th hour. And the 11th hour, the Holy Spirit picked that term on purpose. It seems like the hour that's too late, that's way, you know, it's almost too much. And he gives them a denarii. And then he gives all the others who worked 3 hours or 5 hours, whatever, denarii. And then it says the ones who came and worked all day long, 12 hours, they were excited because they figured if the guy worked for an hour, got a denarii, they were going to get a bunch more. And the Lord gave them a denarii. And they got offended. And the Lord said, why are you offended with me? Did I give you what I promised you? Can't I do with my own what I want to do? He said, are you offended at my generosity? And I heard that, and the Lord like broke something off of me, a lie that I've believed all my life. Now, do I wish I had been radically, crazy, fearlessly passionate about Jesus when I was 15? Yes. Because you know why? Because then you got that many more years to experience the blessing and have all those stories. Are you with me? So there can be wasted time. But the idea that at 60 or at 50 or at 40 or whatever, it's too late for God to ever bless you the way he blessed that person who's been going at it since they were 10, that's a lie from the devil. Revival is about you jumping in and you get the same reward that a Heidi Baker or Smith Wigglesworth or anybody else has ever gotten. It depends on God's particular calling in your life. Everybody's not called to go to Mozambique. Do you understand? In the context of your life, you can know the same blessing of God on your life, even if it's the 11th hour. Do you hear me? And again, the Holy Spirit uses that term 11th hour because he knows a lot of times we think either because the years have gone by, it's too much, or the things that we've done have put such distance between us and the favor of God, the anointing of God, it's just about too late. And what I want to do this morning, if it's important to you, and some of you it's not important, and that's okay. God just keep you coming until it gets that way. But if it's important to you, if you still have that thing in your heart, even if it's the shadow of a dream that you read things, you hear it, I still dream that it could somehow be as good as I always hoped it would be. And even if you think it's the 11th hour, the denarii is for you too. It's for all of us. Are you hearing me? I'm almost 58 years old. And for all these years, 30-something years I've walked with the Lord, I've always believed. Now, are there lost years? Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have to have the lost anointing. If all you got is 2 years left, why don't you spend them rocking for Jesus? Or if you're an older generation, waltzing for Jesus, but waltzing with all your heart. whichever one you can do. You hearing me? So I really felt it was important that we do something. See, it's not nearly as important to me, guys, if this place is full, we have to have two services, or if this place is half full. That's the Lord's business. I can't do anything about that. On a personal level, all I can do is walk in as radical righteousness as I know how to walk in and not allow myself to get sidetracked. And it's easy to get sidetracked. I've been intercepted so many times in my spiritual life. That's one of the things I prayed this morning when we sang that song about heaven. I can't wait. One of the greatest things about heaven is that I'm going to one day come to a place where I can't cause His heart pain anymore. I'm not even able to. I do know this. We're called to be. This place is called to be. I do know that. We're not this person or we're not that group. We're called to be. But I don't care if there's 10 of us. If it's 10 of us that are longing for Him. And if we're getting some parts wrong, if we're longing for Him, He'll straighten it out, y'all. He'll straighten me out. I'm not afraid of getting straightened out and changing. You know, if God's, you hear what I'm saying to you? What I am afraid of in my own personal life, that I'll spend my life on the sidelines wishing I could have something that God has said all along I could have, even if it's just for the last hour of my life. And I'm afraid of spending my life with a group of people and we're all that way. You hear me? I'd much rather us close the doors and go somewhere else. And if I thought that's what God was saying, I'd say it. But I believe we're called to be. I really do. And so I guess my thing is this. Because you may have already settled all this. I don't mean that sarcastically. That's a good thing. Like if I was in a church right now and they were giving this call I'm about to give you, I wouldn't go forward because I settled it this week. That whatever time I have left, I can get a denarii. I can get the same anointing anybody else has ever gotten for whatever vocation I've called to in my walk with the Lord. You with me?
Amen.
And one of the things, I don't know if we'll get to the sermon or not. But if we don't get to the sermon, I'll give you a little leader. Jesus always rejoices when He finds one more Christian at His feet asking for redemption and revival. He never turns them away. He never tells them how frustrated He is and how disappointed it's taken so long. When she's laying at His feet, asking Him to cover her with His cloak, to redeem her, and asking for the highest level of intimacy, He didn't bring up Moab. He praises her and He gives her thanks. That's the heart of God. Do you know what the Talmud is? The Talmud is a group of writings by the Jews that kind of talk about and interpret the Hebrew Old Testament. That kind of gives you some insight of how Jewish people think and how Jesus, the philosophy of Jewish people, how Jesus, their understandings of God. And in the Talmud, there's a statement that every blade of grass, now think of this in terms of Matthew chapter 6, it's true about God, every blade of grass has an angel standing over it saying, grow, grow. That's who God is. You hear me? That's one of the coolest things I've ever read. And you think about Matthew 5 about how He provides for all the birds of the air and the grasses of the field. I believe they have some. Every blade of grass has an angel bending over it saying, grow, grow.
A lot of angels.
And if that's true about every blade of grass, what do you think God feels about you and me? And so what I want to do, and I kind of have known I was going to do this all week, but I was so excited about preaching the sermon So if I don't preach a sermon, come back next week because this is a great sermon. I didn't say I was a great preacher, but I can tell you it's a great sermon. It's a really good follow-up to what I'm going to do this morning. I just think God wants people to have an opportunity to come and long again. And I just think God wants me to pray for you, to bind up any stuff that's I just want God to break you of all the deception. It was like I went through a deliverance the other night sitting in that thing going, wow. You know, I mean, if I wanted to, could I stop and look back at regrets going, yeah, but you know what? That doesn't get me anymore because I'm so pumped about if it's the 9th hour, the 10th hour, the 11th hour, everything I've ever hoped for, I can have still. Isn't that neat? And you know, isn't it weird that how very rarely you see old people like lead movements of God, revival? Lots of young people that are always crazy. Because I believe old people think it's just too late. It's passed them by. And we need older people who are like crazy and supporting everybody else who's crazy for Jesus. With me? That's right. There's one of our young teenagers right back there that said that. Kira's mom. So. So if you need that, yes, Shelby. Sure. Right. Amen. Right. Right. Amen. 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 Amen, sister. Amen. See, because I just let me just talk to you pastorally then. A couple of months ago, I shared that word about the curse of casual worship. You were all pumped about it. Man, you all got into worship, and then a couple of weeks later, it just flew out the window. What happened? Well, I was out of Africa, and this happened, this little distraction here. But you know, that, I'm just telling you, if we can't hold on to something longer than a week, and I don't want to live being a pep rally and having to pump us all up all the time. There's got to be a place where you start longing again. Now, it's not that I want to encourage you, you know, and start shooting paintballs at you if you don't enter into worship, marking you, you know, as a leper. As a leper, stay away from them. And they'll make you not want to worship either. But I just want us, Shelby said the word, you know. There's this corporate place, and I just believe if there's enough of us, everybody else is going to want to join in and enter in too. And I just want to, I just want us to sell out every day. And I don't have the words to say what I'm saying, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. I just want us to be, I can't do anything about anything other than, somebody go get my Bible out of my pulpit. Carrie, would you get it? Yeah, I'm sorry, Pat. My memory's short. You had your hand up a minute a second ago.
Sorry, I got snagged on my post-it.
Did you? Yesterday's history. Tomorrow is His mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And I just want today to follow Jesus. without reservation, and I want us all to. And I don't want the lie of the enemy tell you that somehow you can't ever have what you hope for because it's just too late. Let's be prisoners of hope, as Zechariah talks about. Therefore, if I'll stop talking, God can start working. You know? If you're where I was and somehow believe that somehow you lost something you never could have, that somehow you, they could never write a story about God in your life. Because, see, heaven writes these stories. Paul said that the people he ministered to were his epistles. If somehow you believe what I believed, and you need that broken off of you, no matter what you've done or how old you've gotten, then I want you to come up here and we want to pray for you.